Well, in the, I think it was Charlie Brown comic that said it was a very blustery day or something, or it certainly was a blustery day driving out today, but I'm glad to be with you folks. I just encourage you that in our times, become people of prayer and be strengthening yourself in your faith and making yourself strong. I also want to say, before I get to my message, I just feel that we really need to be encouraging people, as many as we can, to know the Lord Jesus. So do you know the Lord Jesus this morning? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him as the one who is assuring you eternal life, the one who has forgiven your sins? If you don't, I encourage you to ask him to do that, even at this moment. This morning I'm going to speak on the theme, Hidden Dreams. My text is 2 Kings 4, 8-17. Let's read the first half of a story from the life of Elisha. I'm going to be talking about two ways to bless those you love. Put in your mind a picture of people close to you, people maybe in your family or friends. And I'm going to talk about how you can bring a blessing to them, or two ways you can bring a blessing to them from this text. But would you stand as we read God's word? I'm going to read from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 17. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who is often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay whenever he comes to us." One day Elisha came. He went up to his room and lay down there. And he said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "She has no son, and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant." But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. My mom has been moved into a senior's home. She's been there, been in a senior's home for a while now. But a little over a year ago, around a year ago, I had one of the most open and wonderful conversations I've ever had with my mom. And we started talking about a lot of things, a lot of life things. And one of the things that came up was what my mom, in a sense, regretted about her life. And one of the things she regretted was that she never really pursued her art gifting. So in our house where I grew up, there was little paintings that she had done and so on, but she showed a lot of talent. In fact, this Christmas, my wife got one of her pictures framed for me, and it's in our house now. So she had a lot of talent, but she had a dream of pursuing that never really happened. And she didn't get the encouragement, I guess. I'm not sure what else. But she had this hidden dream, a hidden dream that I believe God had put there by his goodness and by his design of her. And I want to say that as I go through life, I find a lot of people have dreams. Many of them are godly dreams, but they remain hidden. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. Two ways to bless those you love, and the first way that we see in this story is that you can bless those you love by helping them fulfill their spoken dreams. Now it says there in verse 8 or verse 9, she said to her husband, "I know this man who comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put a bed in it, a table and a chair and a lamp. Then he can stay whenever he comes." Some of our dreams are acceptable to talk about. We don't mind bringing them forward. Well, that was the case with this. This lady had invited Elisha in and his servant in, and they'd had some wonderful times of fellowship, and it seemed was like a pattern was being established. And then she got this dream of having a place on the roof so he could come and stay. It was a kingdom-building dream. It was a godly dream. It was a way to encourage Elisha, directed at blessing others. But she had this dream, and I believe it was part of God's plan to build his kingdom at that time. Israel at this time had been given over to other idols. And Elisha was kind of fighting this battle against other idols. He did it in a very low-key and behind-the-scenes way, but very powerful way. But she was entering into that ministry, and she was going to partner with him. And so she had this dream. She talks to her husband about it. You have dreams, godly dreams. Dreams that you're willing to talk to people about. People in your circle, in your family, have godly dreams that they're willing to talk about. How can we love them? Well, it doesn't say that the husband got out his carpentry apron and power saw, but we just see the next scene is that there's a room, and Elisha and his servant are staying there. So what this man did was that he brought his resources to this dream. We see in Scripture that God gave a lot of visions and pictures to people, dreams to them. Abram, God spoke to him in a vision. Joseph had dreams, and there's many, many other examples. But this lady had this picture in her mind of blessing the servant of God, and her husband said, "This is achievable. We've got the resources. I'm going to put my money where your desire is, and we'll achieve this dream." So one way we can help people who talk about dreams is bring our resources to bear. Do you have resources that can help the people you love achieve their dreams? We have some friends who live in Sexsmith. You know, my ministry is primarily with pastors and missionaries. And interestingly, they, on their own volition, developed a basement suite in their house. They did a beautiful job of it. Nice fireplace, kitchenette, beautiful room, all beautifully developed. And they call it Elisha's room. And so they set aside their resources to develop that. So from time to time when people are coming through, they have a place to stay. They make it available for free. And it's been a blessing to us in our ministry, helping us with our dream. And they just decided to put their resources into that. But that's one of the ways that you can bless people you love. When they start talking about a dream that's a godly dream, you could say, "Hey, I'm going to get behind that with resources. Do you have resources to help someone who's been talking about a godly dream?" It's one way to love them. Secondly, I want to talk a little bit about how you can bless those who have unspoken dreams. The story continues. One day, Elisha and his servant are there enjoying this room that has been set aside for them, and he's thinking, "This lady has just blessed us so much, we need to make this a two-way relationship. Some blessing needs to go back." And by the way, I want to say to you, are you a person that always is willing to take but not wanting to give? If you are, change that. Make your relationships beneficial both ways. And so Elisha is saying here, "Man, this lady has just blessed us." So he calls, says to Gehazi, "Call a Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him, and Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" And She said, I have a home among my people. So what's happening here is Elisha is saying, you have been such a blessing to us. What dream do you have? How can we be a blessing to you? And Elisha had contacts in high places. I can talk to the king for you, or I can talk to the commander of the army for you. Those are the two most powerful people in the nation. He was determined to bless her. Two-way relationship, but he's going to bless her and thank her for her goodness. And she says, I'm good. I'm good. I got a home among my people. In other words, she's saying, I'm okay. I'm happy the way it is. We find out that she had an unspoken dream and she was just keeping silent about it. And so Elisha, not willing to take that for an answer, just saying it's all good, he kind of does some digging. And he calls on Gehazi to assess the situation, and so they come to this conclusion. I'll talk about that in a bit. But I do want to say this. I want to talk about three reasons we keep our dreams covered, our godly dreams. Some of you have godly dreams, I'm very sure of it today. Some of you have godly dreams that you've been keeping covered for a long time. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? First of all, we do that your dream may be covered of layers of misconceptions. This lady was a woman of means. She was very well-to-do. Her husband was providing for her really in beautiful ways. And you could see she was a very capable woman. As you see her in the different pictures of Scripture, we see her more than once. So she was kind of like a powerful, in a sense, businesswoman or something like that. But she had this misconception. And I don't know if her misconception was, God won't do any more for me than he already has. Whatever it was, she believed that God did not have a heart to bless her with her unspoken dream. I've talked to a lot of people through the years now. That's kind of my business. And I find a lot of people have unspoken dreams. That's why I can stand here and say today, some of you have godly dreams that have been, you've layered over. And a lot of the reason why we don't talk about them is simply because we have misconceptions about the heart of God. So we may see God as limited. We may see God as, well, he's blessed me so much already, there's no more. So maybe like this person, you have great abundance and you think, well, what more could I ask? I could imagine her. The story, by the way, in this text previous to it is of this widow that had no resources to pay for her boys, and her boys were going to go into slavery. Maybe the Shunammite woman had said, I'm not broke like that lady. Why should I be asking for something? Maybe that's it. I don't know. But for some reason, she kept this dream, lay it over. And part of the reason it was layered over was because of misconceptions. Second reason I see why we layer over our dreams is because of the impossibility. Elijah says, what can be done for her? And Gehazi said, well, she has no son and her husband is old. In other words, her husband cannot help her have children. It's impossible. He's too old. The time has passed. So we have an older, fairly old man and a young lady in this marriage. When we were serving in Africa, we found that many men didn't marry until they were quite a bit older. That was because they just didn't have the financial means until they were older. And so they would marry younger ladies. We do an online teaching once a month for people that can join from various places. And there's a couple from Africa where the man is fairly old and the wife is much younger. So that seems to be the situation here. And I don't know if this Shunammite woman was just being too kind to speak about it, thinking that it might humiliate her husband. But the bottom line is, it was too late for this dream. It's too late. Time has passed. Circumstances just make it impossible. And so she wouldn't even speak about it. Third reason was, I think her dream was covered by layers of pain. No, my Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. So Elisha gives her this prophecy. In a year from now, you're going to hold a son in your arms. And you would think, she would just go, yeah. But she says, no, my Lord, don't mislead me. It's too much pain. Too much pain. Hopes had been dashed for too long. And sometimes we don't talk about our dreams, our God dreams, because it's too painful. Too painful to hope for, too painful to talk about. It just reopens the hurt and the disappointment. Well, those are some reasons why we keep our dreams unspoken. Layers, misconceptions, layers of impossibility, and layers of pain. Well, how can you help those you love fulfill their unspoken dream when you have no resources? The husband didn't have the resources. Change this. No amount of money is going to fix this, even though it seems like he had a lot of money. Well, you can help people with Spirit-led questions, Holy Spirit-led questions. Elijah starts asking her, what's your dream? What's your hope? How can we bless you? Spirit-led questions. And of course, she resisted, so Elisha and Gehazi did a little bit of detective work, and they just took a look at the situation, and Gehazi said she has no son, and her husband is old. And that's when Elisha knew. So start with some Spirit-led questions. Let me ask you, husbands, when was the last time you talked to your wife and said, do you have any unspoken dreams? Let me ask you, wives, when was the last time you talked to your husband and said, do you have any unspoken dreams? Or to your children? Start with Spirit-led questions. And then give a Spirit-led word. Then Elisha said to her, call her. And so he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. The Holy Spirit gave Elisha a word for the Shunammite woman. It was a word that shattered her misconceptions of God, that broke the layers of impossibility, and broke through the layers of disappointment. A year from now, you will hold a son in your arms. There are times when the Holy Spirit gives us a word to share with someone. A lot of times it's a scripture, sometimes it's just something convicting. I just want to encourage you to give that. This often happens through preaching, and God by His Spirit speaks to someone and breaks into their life. Yet there are times when God may lead you individually to give people a word, to share a scripture. You know, it says in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. In other words, it was a word that gave him the faith to break through. There's also, well, I do want to say, I'll just share one experience where I had an experience with this. Years ago when I was pastor, there was a man who had prostate cancer, and it had developed a long way. And the doctors were saying, I think, 3 months or so for you. And he was having a lot of pain, and I remember this man loved to ride motorcycles with his wife. They would go touring. He had a nice, big, fancy motorbike. Anyway, it was a desperate situation, and he asked for us to come and pray, the elders to come and pray. And I had done this many times and hadn't really had any experience like I did that day, but I was following kind of my manual going through this time of prayer. And at the end, for closing off our time of prayer, it really gave two scriptures to choose from. And one was like, God will give you grace for this, give you strength to go through this suffering. And the other one was like, God's going to turn this thing around. And I was sitting there, the others were praying, and I was sitting there looking at, Lord, which scripture do you want me to use? And my heart was drawn to that, God is going to turn this around. And so I'm kind of nervous. And so I said, well, I better share that. So I shared that. And one of the elders came to me after and said, well, that was quite a scripture you shared. And I knew it. I didn't do that in ignorance. But, you know, as of a year ago, that man was still alive. He's, I think, taken a number of long, long motorcycle trips with his wife. But it was just a word into that time. And the Holy Spirit can use you to give somebody a word about their unspoken dream. So be open to that. Be open to that. The other way you can invite God's intervention is through your prayers. Now, later in the story, as this story unfolds, so we haven't read it yet, and I won't right now, but this son grows up, and then he dies something. He gets this massive headache, and then all of a sudden he dies, and Elisha's called to the scene, and he prays, and then that boy is raised to life. And I want to say that when people have unspoken dreams that you don't have resources to do, you can bring God's resources in, one through a word, and also the second one through prayer. And Elisha brought God's resources into that situation through prayer, but I want to give you another example, and that's from the New Testament. If you look in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and following, it's the story of Zacharias and Anna. Now, Zacharias becomes the father of John the Baptist, but it says in verse 5, in the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the commandments of the Lord and regulations blamelessly, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both along in years. And you see, the angel comes. It says, verse 11, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand, right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. Now, if you read on in that story, you'll find Zechariah argues with the angel. Why does he argue? If an angel plops, if an angel just, bam, and spoke a word to you, would you start arguing? Well, it probably would depend on the condition of your heart. You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth's heart had been layered over too. Layers of impossibility. But you know what turned it around? What brought God into that impossible situation? The angel said to Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. And I looked up the tense, and it's third person singular. In other words, the angel is saying to Zechariah, you as husband of Elizabeth, it's your prayers that have been heard. Again, a situation where there is a hidden dream, an impossible dream, but Zechariah the husband brought God into it through his prayers. Divine power can bring seemingly impossible dreams to reality. You can help people realize their godly dreams by sharing a word from the Lord and through your prayers. So my big idea is this. You can bless those you love by helping them realize their godly dreams. Some of you have friends or family members who have been saying, I've got this godly dream. Or they may not say godly, but they say, I have this dream, and you think about it. Yeah, that is a godly dream. That's a kingdom-building dream. That's in line with who God created them to be. And you have resources to help them. One way you can bless them is help them with the resources you have. Second way, some of them have hidden dreams, and you may need to do a little digging. I want to encourage, especially spouses, to talk to one another this afternoon. As the wind is blowing and the snow is coming down, put another log on the fire and look at your honey and say, do you have any hidden dreams? And they may be dreams that you have resources to help them, and you can love them that way, but they may be dreams that you don't have resources to help, and then you can bring God in through your prayers. So start with your spouse. Maybe ask the Lord to put on your heart people you can help. They may have God dreams that God is inviting you to help them fulfill. And maybe you talk to your children. What dreams do you have? You probably know them, know some of them. Some children have their dreams squashed by their parents who are telling them exactly how they're supposed to unfold their career. And it's probably good and well-meaning advice, but sometimes we don't give the Holy Spirit a chance to work or let our children speak up. You know, when I became a believer between grade 11 and 12, and I sensed the call to ministry, and I wanted to go to Bible school, and I needed that for what I do now. But my parents got behind me, and they paid for my way all the way through Bible college, one of the greatest gifts I was ever given. Who in your circle can you love by helping them fulfill their God-given dreams? May God bless you.